Did you know there is an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code CANNON, C-A-N-N-O-N. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's mind magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. I've talked about my trouble at dispensaries. I have a very hard time communicating with those guys. I got the gummies, and I also got the Sleepy Time THC tincture. I use it mostly at bedtime. And being honest, it's some of the best sleep I've ever gotten. It's amazing. But best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code CANNON, C-A-N-N-O-N. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code CANNON, C-A-N-N-O-N, when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon podcast,
this giant thing climbs out of the tank, looks at the four of you, and rips apart into four of them.
Be gone, you devils!
Boom! And he's going to explode in divine wrath.
We're going to get through this, Buggles.
Let's have some fun here. There's a sweet cone. Gick, Ramius, and Buggles. Icy cold. Buggles' turn.
Pop. 37 points of damage.
Whoa.
Shroom.
Dead.
Still up.
God damn it. This fucking guy. 26 to hit.
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Nice.
Then I'll drop a claw and Gick. And a third natural 20.
Oh my god, it's a crit!
Brother Ramius.
I'm sorry he's done this to you.
Buggles' turn.
Boom! And another ignition.
You absolutely annihilate this.
Yes!
You have come to this containment unit to meet the guest. Yet Ogmund Zorius said, seek what's behind the vault to meet the Blessed One. What does it all mean?
The adventure continues. Now.
Spent a lot of time and effort sort of hiding the reality of when we record, you know, because we record way in advance. Sometimes we record right up before the deadline. It's a ruse that Joe and I especially held near and dear to our heart. And I believe you still do. But sometimes I like
great tradition.
It's a great tradition. We don't like to be like, oh, just the election just finished and it's May while you're watching this. But
lies make baby Jesus cry.
That's true. And that's the main reason we don't do it anymore. But there's something that happened today that I think is worth talking about
because
it's on all of our minds. We just were getting ready to record, and CJ put on the trailer for Oblivion Remastered.
Worst decision ever.
And now we can't focus
on
anything.
We lost 30 minutes.
We got
of good, solid recording time.
Sucked. We all were like silent. And then you would just hear someone just go, oh, oh, oh,
oh, cool.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sydney, what did you think of Oblivion when you played it?
Originally. It was
when you were nine.
I was not nine. I played it when I was older. It was good. I played it on PC. I played Skyrim first. So then I went back to Oblivion, and it was hard to go back. And then I modded it a ton. So I never played the game as meant to be played. I never did like a playthrough normal. I just went in, started modding, kind of fucked the game up too much. And then I stopped playing it because I ruined it.
That happens. Yeah.
But this is what got me so excited, because now I feel like, because not even just a remaster would have been cool, but like this was a lot. I mean, from what we saw, now I can play it, like play the story and figure out the pre to Skyrim, because I know Skyrim so well now. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited, but I've never played it in full.
Cool.
I also have never played Oblivion.
What?
We've told this story. I think we've touched upon this story in the past when Joe and I first met. Joe was on my softball team. He was recommended by my voiceover agent at the time, and I screened him, and I was like, he seems okay. And we
really
were,
hits the long ball.
Yeah, I've watched him the batting cages. He'll do.
I watched him. He could hit
He'll
the
off just fine.
He could hit the off speed stuff. He could go to right field. That was enough. And we were talking, and it became clear that we were both into nerd culture. And he's like, oh, "Are you excited for?" I'm paraphrasing, but some, "Are you excited for Skyrim, Elder Scrolls?" I'm like, "What is that?" Because at the time, I had been on a huge video game hiatus. I was busy chasing tail around New York.
Oh God!
So I didn't have time for games. I was playing another game and winning. But he made it sound so delectable, and I was single and I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. So I was like, I'll play this. This sounds great. When does it come out? And it was like a week or two later, and I played that, and I never stopped playing video games from that moment on. It got me back into nerd culture. This is pre-Glass Cannon. But I didn't want to go back and play Oblivion or Morrowind or any of those games because of the graphics and the interface. It was like, so I'm really excited about
this. Yeah. Yeah. My memory of it, I loved Oblivion. My memory of it is just because at the time it was groundbreaking when it came out, because I had played Morrowind and that was awesome. Oblivion was a big graphical upgrade. And just, I think compared to Skyrim, I'm excited to go back and check it out because Skyrim is extremely cool. It's amazing, but it feels very, I don't know, it feels like it's in a small location. And
Skyrim feels small?
I know that it has so many places, but it's all this kind of like snowy landscape in this one area.
It's more specific.
It's very, very specific. Like Cyrodiil, the way it's done in Oblivion, feels more like a whole like fantasy world in a way to me.
Yeah. Morrowind too.
Yeah, because it had very wildly different biomes.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So
that's really interesting.
Did you play all of Oblivion? Like you played the game. Okay.
Yeah.
You finished it?
Yeah.
Wow.
He never finishes games.
That's impressive.
I finished very, very few games. But yeah, it just the I don't want to say too much, but the what do they call it? The gameplay loop. Gameplay loop of Oblivion is very satisfying because the Oblivion concept, like what it is very cool. And it has kind of an addictive thing to it where you're like, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. And like, you can see what you need to do. And it feels like tasks getting checked off a list. And so it keeps you moving. It's really well done.
Did you play it too, Skid?
I did. I think it's the reason I bought a 360 was because it just looked so good. I was just reading articles about it and like Gamer Pro, whatever. And it was just like, man, this is awesome. And I remember like playing through it. So I was like, you can do like anything. Like you could play like any way you want. It was just like, that sounds amazing. And I remember it was just like, I'm going to break into this guy's house. And I'm like, I break into his house and I'm like ducked down, you know, in stealth mode, just kind of going around his basement. I'm just like, oh, all stuff in here. And I turned around. He's like standing right there. I just picture it was just like, sort of like stood up. It's like, I'll see myself out.
Have a good day.
It was the funniest thing.
Here's your fork. Like,
yeah, here's your fork.
Here's your fork and book.
Here's your fork. And volume 4 of the History of Cyrodiil.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Very informative. Thank you.
Kate, did you ever play any Elder Scrolls?
I mean,
No, I'm not a fucking nerd.
Wow.
And I was actually the one while you all were watching the trailer being like, can we get to work, please?
Yeah.
I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Tabletop nerd game.
I played Elder Scrolls Online for like 4 seconds and I was like, oh, I can't have this in the house. And then I kind of like Men in Blacked myself and just like forgot. Hmm. And I haven't played it since. So
Elder Scrolls Online, I played recently, coming from, we played WoW together. And then I was like, let me try out another one. Completely different. You level up way faster. It's not really like Skyrim. It's not really, I would say if you were to dip in to an Elder Scrolls game,
yeah,
Oblivion would be the one.
I don't know what it is about these games, but they sound fun when my friends talk about them. And then I go and play them. I'm like,
not interested.
I don't think I want to play this game. Yeah. And then everyone's like, what? You just got to like get into it. And it's like, I don't.
It's a big commitment.
I respect it. Xavier tried out Skyrim. He knew about it. And I was like, well, I'll watch you play. Like, it'll be fun. He didn't even get past like the opening sort of dragon cutscene part. And he was like, I actually don't really care about
why
this.
Why am I in this card? I don't want to be in this card.
I don't know what it is. But I want to like it, but I just don't care.
But like, he loved like Cyberpunk and stuff. So I'm like, okay, it's not like the open world game. I think it's just the high fantasy setting.
I think it's
maybe
high fantasy. I don't know why. Because like on paper, I like that.
Yeah.
But when I play these games, I'm just like, I don't really want to play this right now. I want to do anything else.
But watching it, maybe? Would you watch?
I tried to watch Michael play it. I usually watch him play games. And same, I'm just kind of like, I want to like this. Everyone likes it. Same with Magic the Gathering. You guys all like it. I want to like it. And I just don't.
I don't like it. I hate it.
I don't care for it.
I think it's a brilliantly designed game, but I want to shoot myself rather than play it. It sucks. Just sit across from somebody and get fucking trounced for 30 minutes.
His experience with it is certainly
I've had a bad experience.
I've had the same experience. Just getting your ass handed to you.
Just getting your ass kicked every single time. My big memory of Oblivion is, because I was way into Morrowind, was like, I was anticipating its release. So it was all those trailers. And it was, the main guy was voiced by Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
And so like the Emperor.
Yeah. Emperor,
yeah. And so like the trailer was like, close shut the jaws of Oblivion, and it was Patrick Stewart, and I was like, this game is gonna be the greatest game ever made.
It was right at the cusp of like when like known actors started to do voice work in games too,
right,
which was really, I think, kicked off mostly by like GTA like 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of started as like, oh, there's people from movies in this game, and that was sort of on the heels of that.
Yeah, so that was like, I remember that being a really big deal. It's like the Emperor, and he's in. I'm sure it's like, if you play the remaster, like the Emperor is Patrick Stewart, which is so badass.
Pretty cool.
So cool.
That is cool.
But I kind of burned out on it too. I never finished it. And then I played Skyrim, kind of burned out on that too. And I've never finished one of those games.
I finished Skyrim, but it got to a point, because I'm a finisher. I was like, I've got to stop doing these side quests.
Yeah.
And you just have to
mainline the story.
That's why I finish them, because I don't get tempted by the side quests.
Yeah, you don't get tempted by the side quests?
I do some of them, but then I'm just like,
oh my God.
I want to finish the game. Let me just main quest.
If I have 10 side quests sitting in my thing, I start freaking out. I'm like, I got to do these side quests.
Yeah.
And then I'll talk to someone. I'm like, no, this is going to open up. Damn it, I got to go find our lost kid.
I was playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 the other day, streaming it, and I was like, okay, guys, today's going to be the day I'm like doing this thing. I finally got to this big city, Gutenberg. This kid was watching me, and a drunk guy.
Gutenberg?
Gutenberg.
Oh, like Steve Gutenberg?
And a drunk guy approached me in the street and was like, I just had a baby boy. My life is great. And he like talks to you, and you're like, all right. Nothing really happens. Like, it's not even a side quest. And I just went, I'm going to follow Michael home. I'm going to see if he really does have a kid. And everyone was like, Sydney, 1 second. I'm going to do the main thing. Sydney, the next second. I'm going to follow Michael home. Open world games are just so expansive nowadays that I get lost immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's and hard to stay focused.
Red Dead 2, you and I were big Red Dead 2 players. I mean, there are some side quests in that game that are better than some other complete game.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
And some that are so maddening. I'm thinking of Red Dead 2. You remember there's like, you're riding your horse in the middle of nowhere, and there's this like shack with this creepy inbred dude. The brother and two.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just... It's an amazing thing. It's better than just,
it's incredible.
It becomes Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah,
like, whole the way it all plays out and what you're like sort of allowed to do like as the
it's
way
so
it plays
up.
Out.
It's I'm like best. I gotta find this motherfucker.
Yeah,
blackout.
What a great game.
Who's gonna stream Oblivion?
I'm streaming it.
You gonna stream it?
If you're watching this all show right now, which obviously you are, or listening, Joe's already streamed it.
I streamed it once 6 weeks ago.
No,
nice math. That was quick math.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to hop in and play a little bit of it.
I'll watch, watch the shit out of that.
The main what kind thing of build? I'm excited. What kind of build do you think?
I'm thinking of going, I'm going to play like a GCN character. That's what I really like doing with Skyrim games and Dark Souls too. I haven't decided yet.
Play Asta. So.
I'm not sure.
Play Asta. Don't do
that. No, I want to play an effective like
yeah, do
character that
people
can,
will enjoy. Yeah.
no, I
gotta go.
Asta would fit very well in this because of the whole spell in one hand.
Khajiit is actually, the cat person, or is that Khajiit?
Yeah, Khajiit.
But Oblivion has the lion.
That would be lucky. That would be lucky.
Yeah. Are they Khajiit still, or are they know. Different race? The lion race.
They made them look more lion-y.
They're Khajiit.
Are they
Khajiit? Still, they're cats. They're feline, yeah, sort of race. Yeah, I'm not sure who it's going to be yet. Here's my issue every time with the Elder Scrolls game. I go in, I'm like, I want to do something different. And every single time, I'm just like, I'm not having any fun. So I'm just going to go be a thief again. It's like full stealth. Build is so fun in Elder Scrolls games. And then the Thieves Guild quests are always amazing.
It's so stealing is the best.
I love
so
steal.
Great.
Yeah.
It makes me think of like the game Thief.
Yeah.
Which I also was a huge fan of. It's just
I never actually played that game. I can see the cover. I never actually played that
game.
Great game. One thing I'm really excited about is going back, as I have no memory of the mechanics of Oblivion. I don't remember, like, I remember, like, the narrative and I remember the gameplay loop, but I don't remember how you leveled up exactly, and because all the menus are different. And from what it said in the video, there's going to be some mixing of the mechanics between Skyrim and Oblivion. Yeah. They redid some of the leveling mechanics and skill mechanics and stuff.
The problem is time. I don't know how.
Oh, yeah, that's the idea. It's like, I'm not going to have time to.
Bought Cyberpunk recently on Skid's recommendation, and I put 4 hours into it over the past month.
Oh.
So I'm like, what? Now I got to finish Cyberpunk. I can't play this. But I discovered a way that I think I can do it. There will be no campaign 3.
In fact,
tonight is the final episode.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
We're going to have a lot of Oblivion coming.
Stay tuned for the finale coming up right after this break.
Pardon the interruption here, Nace. Just a quick hop in from me to let you know about Hero Forge. If you're not familiar with Hero Forge, they are a phenomenal custom miniature making site for your tabletop minis. I have used them for many, many years, including using them to build all of our custom minis of our characters for the Gen Con gauntlets. I love this website, and they're sponsoring the GCP. How sick is that? You can use a code to get a discount off of any color printed physical miniatures on the website right now. I'll get to that in a second. But for those that aren't familiar, Hero Forge is a browser-based miniature making site where you can make your own character using dozens of different fantasy species and thousands of different component parts to choose from to make your character unique. And they also make these color plastic ones ready to go, table ready, right out of the box. Color printed miniatures using photopolymers, meaning no paintbrushes required to bring your character to life. Head to heroforge.com to design your perfect tabletop miniature. Add custom colors, patterns, and decals, and then prepare for adventure. It is the spring after all. Let's prepare for those new summer campaigns. They also have STL files and digital miniatures that you can get, and double size color printed miniatures. So like amazing printouts for like your big bad battle or just for an epic centerpiece on a table. Honestly, it would look amazing. Head to heroforge.com and use code GCP and you'll get 5% off all orders of color printed physical miniatures. That's heroforge.com. Use code GCP, 5% off all color printed physical minis.
Folks, I want to thank our sponsors who keep the lights on, these beautiful orange lights today. These lights cost no less than $10,000 each, and we have 6 of them. And it's all thanks.
That seems like a big brag.
To our
It's not that far off. it's all thanks to our sponsors, Norse Foundry. They provide our beautiful dice. We have new dice coming out soon. Maybe by the time you're watching this, they're already out. Cool new dice.
Cool new dice.
Did we make a Matthew die? Did we make a new Matthew die? That seems silly now.
I know, right?
A Matthew die?
Matthew should still get a die.
Yeah. They're all,
because he plays many, many beloved characters across the network.
I couldn't tell you.
We could just
couldn't
name one. Couldn't name one.
You could absorb his dice.
Well, the other thing.
Yes.
We could blow them up and
crush it,
put them between
snort
us.
It.
The other thing to remember is that we are running out of time on the great Glass Cannon Norse Foundry May blowout
sale.
Yes.
Critical sale.
Blowout sale. So 20% off anything in the Norse Foundry store. If you use code GCP 20 at checkout.
Is it a blowout sale? A blowout is like when poop comes out of a diaper.
That's all I think about.
No,
too.
That's a blowout. That's a classic sale.
It's a classic sale.
Yeah, because they don't have sales like
what are they blowing out?
They're blowing the merchandise.
Their merchandise,
out of
the inventory.
Out
they're
the
blowing it
just
out of
like
the
shit out of a side of a diaper.
Yeah.
Seems like a weird thing. Why we call them blowouts.
Probably not the imagery they're trying to.
Poop outs.
Poke.
Poop outs.
Poop out. Diarrhea sale.
Also like to thank Foundry Virtual Tabletop.
Yeah.
Do they have any sales? They should.
Foundry? No,
you should just buy it. You should just buy Foundry.
I mean, the deal, honestly, and this is no BS, the deal on Foundry is so insane. Like, there's no need for a sale. Like that, the fact that it
is $50.
Not, it's not a subscription. It is a one-time purchase.
Oh, really?
And you get everything that it has forever.
It's amazing.
It's completely nuts.
Yeah, it's amazing. $50 to get the software license key, and then you can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Everything's
amazing.
A subscription now. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's like one of their main ethos, at least. Yeah. It's like, no, we're not doing the subscription thing. Like, you buy the product, you own the product, you get all the updates, you get all, yeah.
Go buy it. And then when you're done there, head to jointhenaish.com and enter the code, don't tell your friends, GCN30. You get 30 days off. You know what?
Tell your friends. I knew you were going to say it. Like, wait, that's the opposite of what you're supposed to say. Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone this code. GCN30, you get 30 days for free. It's the end of May. Sydney is sick and she's blowing her nose.
She's blowing out
the camera.
Blowout
nose.
Get away from me.
She's very ill.
Blowout
and you're gonna
sale
hear
on
it.
Mucus.
Yeah, she's having a blowout sale on her nose.
Blowout of a violent load.
Kill me.
What kind
Kill
of
me.
Sickness you got over there?
All mucus must go.
I don't know. I'm starting to think like I've said my whole life, like, I don't have allergies. I'm not allergic to anything.
Because you're cool.
Yeah.
You're not a nerd loser.
Yeah.
Skaters don't have allergies.
Skaters don't have allergies.
They're only allergic to the man.
Yeah.
Allergic to hypocrisy.
I'm allergic to authority and fascism.
Yeah.
I feel like I got a cold.
You got a cold.
Yeah. I think I got a cold.
You can
cold.
Also develop allergies as you age.
I know. And that's what scares me the most. And I don't want to get tested for like dogwood pollen because probably have it.
You're like 30 now, and that's kind of when that happens.
That's
when
true.
It changes for people.
Is
like,
that
you
true?
30s,
yeah, it's when you start dying.
You
your
can
body
start,
starts deteriorating.
You
body's,
get allergic
that's 25.
To
your body's starting to die.
25, it goes all downhill. But I'm fine. I'm just a little sick, and it's the worst kind because it's like the sun is out now. You know, the weather's so nice, and I'm like, I don't feel well. That sucks as an adult. All I wanted to do was like do garden shit and be outside this weekend, and I was like, I can't stand for a long time.
That's real sad.
It's so
you should be sipping rum runners on a porch.
Yeah.
Instead, you're sniffling in the studio.
I just want to be on
admiring
Troy's boat.
Your gladiolus.
Yes.
I want to be on Troy's boat.
Troy's boat.
Did you get it? Did you get it yet?
No. No. But I asked my wife, can we get a boat?
What did Sam say?
No. Not right now.
Of course not. She's a reasonable person. She's never to allow
it. But I think I talked her into it. I'm slowly talking her into the boat. Hudson River, it's just, she's like, we're never going to use it. I'm like, you kidding? If we had a boat, we'd go all the time. Head down to Peekskill, head to the docks, take it out on the Hudson. People would come visit us. We'd have friends.
Yeah.
I don't think you want friends, though.
You don't want friends.
Yeah.
I like the
idea.
Here's,
people coming
but
over
here's
your
the
house.
Main thing.
Yeah, they're coming over my boat. And then they go home.
They don't step foot in the house.
I don't make them take off their shoes when they get on my boat.
What if it's a houseboat?
That's a good story.
You're also going to have a lot of boat friends. Do you want to be friends with boat people?
Yeah, a bunch of douchebags who also
that's what's going to happen. Like,
weirdos.
Because you got to buy, you know, the place where you dock the boat. You got
right.
And then you're going to get to know.
You're going to be interacting
marina,
with all those
you're
people.
You're going to get to know all these boat people.
They might be
guys
fun.
In like white shorts.
I imagine there's a lot
boat
of Jimmy
shoes.
Buffett.
Boat shoes.
Don't care for
yacht
Jimmy Buffett,
rock.
But I like drinking rum at 10 a.m.
And you do love Yacht Rock.
I love Yacht.
He's a huge Yacht Rock.
That's at least 45% of why I want the boat.
Just to play Yacht
Just
Rock.
Just to play Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
I hate Jimmy Buffett, but
what?
Yacht Rock's all right.
Cheeseburger in paradise.
I don't care how good an investor he is. His music sucks.
What is this paperwork you brought to the table? Is this
I just want to point this out. This is Ike in Rochester, a fan of ours. He sent this to me in this really dramatic envelope.
Whoa.
This is an old top secret module, Lady in Distress, which I actually used to own back in the day. It's been lost for many years.
Well, look at that.
Beautiful vintage gaming stuff. I want to encourage this behavior. People to mail me stuff like that. I want to point it out on air.
It's its own module?
It's a scenario. It was a tournament scenario for the Top Secret game.
Top Secret game. Right.
Lady in Distress.
Very cool. Like, it's all takes place on a hostages on a cruise ship. It's fucking great.
Oh, on a boat.
That sounds awesome.
On a boat.
Yeah.
That was
what happened to you.
Boat related.
Got a boat.
See, this is how you sling Bant. Let's play a little Pathfinder. For the final episode of Campaign 2.
Fine, but let's play second
edition. Not a lot of fanfare. I feel like I'm getting Sydney's cold. I feel like a sneeze coming
on. I'm not sick any longer.
Okay.
I'm on the other end.
Or Skid has no choice. He's got sick.
I'm on the other end.
Ass. Your shirt makes me feel like I'm... I can't see.
I've said this before.
I'm nauseous.
Gen Con 2 years ago. It's a magic shirt. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's magic. It's like a magic eye. I see a goblin.
No, it's a scary guy. I like magic. You were shitting on it before. I just have to stand up for magic. I'm enjoying magic.
Yeah, no, I want to like it.
A lot of nerds like that shit.
Yeah.
Gatewalkers. It took me a second. Like, what is this game?
What is this show?
Oblivion.
We're in this vault.
We're in the vault.
Yeah.
Oi, the vault.
You came into this vault, you bypassed this three-door locking mechanism where you could only open one door at a time, very, very dangerous, not knowing what was on the other side. But you finally get to the other side expecting the guest or the blessed one. Instead, you see a containment unit full of a murky green substance you can't see through, chains going to all sides of the room, and three levers. All of you eventually get into the room and you pull one of the levers and the lid starts to come off. And what emerges is a multi-armed monstrosity. It looks like half Salmon Carr Yeti, half like fused together torsos, muscles exposed. It's like this being that has been built out of a hand, it sounds like. In your research in an earlier room, it says that he created the guest out of a hand that he found in his belongings when he woke up from the missing moment.
It really is like alien resurrection.
Yeah, he's taken this one little piece and, you know, used that DNA to create this monstrosity. It breaks out of the tank, splits into four, and attacks you. Brutal battle, but you come out on top. I don't even think any of you went down.
No.
We got beat up, but no one went down.
We got beat up, yeah. Shocked. We managed our damage pretty well.
First fight without Barnes.
Barnes who?
I know, and none of us went down, which was shocking.
Yeah.
But. Barnes who? Is everyone in good shape?
No.
Roll for initiative. No. What are we at hit point wise? Because nobody went down, but there were some close.
I'm down half. I'm at 40 out of 80.
Okay.
I have like a third of my hit points. No focus points.
Mm.
No folk points?
No folks.
I used all my highest rank spells.
Gick is at 15 hit points and no focus points left.
Yeah, to quote Eddie Murphy, I'm at half.
Nice.
What is that from?
From Raw, I think. Eddie Murphy Raw.
Okay.
Half. Eddie. It's Johnny Carson. Anyways. Rod doesn't hold up as much anymore. I can't really watch. All right, so what do you want to do here? You came in, you did a very cursory investigation before you started pulling levers and gone to it.
Right. I think Ramius is just first going to start working on everybody's damage. So whatever we explore, whatever people want to look at or talk about, he's going to start healing wounds, treating wounds. On Zephyr, on Gick, on himself, etc. So I'm just going to say he's doing that in the background, depending on whatever the first thing is you guys want to do.
Well, when we came in, we looked at the book, but that didn't tell us anything. Was it because we didn't have like time to really sit with it? Or
yeah, I think Ramius did a quick glance and saw that it was about moonstones and infusing moonstones, but to what end, it wasn't clear.
And we know we... previously know about the moonstones that you can store memories in them.
Yeah.
But why this would be in this room is interesting for this specific creature, amalgamation creature.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like,
and put it together.
Taking putting it in this creature? I don't know why they would do that. Could we spend the time, if we're healing and everything, Gick definitely needs to be healed, to take 20, 30 on this room?
Yeah, yeah. Take
30.
The old 1E.
You'll take...
take 10.
Take 10, but I'm going to take 30.
All right, yeah. So as you're doing some healing, I don't know, recovering your focus points and whatnot, you start to really explore the room. You see that this being that split into four has now that it's been slain, all of the bodies upon dying have sort of melted away into like four foul-smelling heaps. Just like you kill them and like they kind of collapse to the floor. And all that remains from what's left of them is a single, partially mummified Salman Carr hand.
Wow.
Consisting of a thumb, index, middle finger, maybe part of the palm. It's twice the size of a human hand, and probably twice as long as well. And it's just kind of sitting there.
It's like amongst, an infinity gauntlet.
It's really big.
Amongst one of the, it's like this, sitting there amongst one of the piles. The rest is just fur and gristle. This is all that remains.
So there's one hand for each of the things, or one hand?
No, like
one hand.
In one of the piles, a little hand sticking up.
Ugh.
Sticks. All right. The smell is...
Can I examine the hand? This is interesting to have this. I never thought we'd actually get this thing.
Yeah.
So I want to examine maybe a medicine check. I want to see if it went, like if it's an actual mummy, right? Like if it went through a mummification procedure, or if
was
it's
it just accidentally mummified?
Like, right. Or is it just old, you know?
Old hand.
A Stone Age traveler who fell down into a crevasse in the Alps.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get any more information, biologically speaking, from a medicine check. But
do a medicine check.
You know, I'm just going to do assurance on it, you know what? No, I will do scholarly recollection and roll twice, take the better. There we go. Okay. I got a 29.
29.
Medicine check.
Wait, do you have assurance for medicine?
I do.
So you have medical assurance?
Yes. Bam. Bam.
Not a lot of people do these days. Big problem.
Wow. This could be a fun app.
Medical. He's really bringing it for the finale.
Medical assurance.
We got to get it all out now. This is our last chance.
So what do you want to know about the hand?
I want to know if it was actually, like, we went through a mummification process, like if someone mummified this, or if it just is, you know, seems to be a part of a skeleton that was just found.
Your initial reading on it is this is something that, like, mummified itself. You know what I mean? Like, if left in a certain condition, rather than...
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Wasting away, it just sort of mummified.
It became mummified over time.
You know what's a cool thing, quickly, about Foundry, I just noticed, is, like, with this room, we have all these, like, chains sticking out, radiating out from the central thing. Like, our tokens, like, they'll go underneath the chains.
Yeah, they pass under them.
That's so cool.
Such little details.
I mean, it's a shout-out to the people who take the Pathfinder maps and Foundrytize them because you layer it.
Yeah.
So there's a map, a lower layer, and a top layer, then you can do stuff like this. It's really cool. Right,
that's really
cool. And, I mean, look at Ramius. He's now...
He's in the thing.
He's in the tank. Oh!
Heck.
Oh!
Get him out of there.
It's like Luke on Hoth.
Yeah.
We had this for Strange Aeons, too, old Davy maps. Could do it in the room where all the hooks were coming down with the books on them.
Yes.
Davy Maps made me two maps, and so I layered the hooks on top, and when you went under the hooks, your character. So it's easy to do in that respect, but you need to make multiple layers.
Right.
Really fucking cool. All right, so...
And nothing else on the hand. I figure it's a Salman Carr hand.
It is. I can tell you, I don't want you to be like, walk out of here and not detect magic. I'm assuming you're...
Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So without any biological information, he'll detect magic.
Yeah.
Presence or absence. Is the hand itself magical?
It is magical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a time when I would punish people for not saying I detect magic. Now I just assume adventurers detect magic.
At this level, yes. Yeah.
So you detect it long enough to know that it's coming from the hand.
All right, then I'll do an identify magic.
Okay.
I'll do religion since it's a dead hand. So we'll try that to start. A little religion. 20. Wow. Could it be that low? 23.
It is, if you invest it, it gives you cold resistance 10, like a ring would. Mm. A ring of energy resistance or greater ring or
benefit. So do you have to like wear it as like a
necklace? You can kind of hold it on your belt or put it in a just container on your person. But yeah, worn in some way. You don't have to like graft it onto your hand. But just its presence gives you.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it gives the wearer.
What was the resistance?
Cold resistance. Cold resistance 10. We never talk about investing. You know, I feel like we talked about it more in the playtest before we.
Yeah, because that felt like a concept from the playtest that I wasn't sure if it even made it into the rest of the game.
I think what ends up happening is when you digitize all your character sheets, it sort of takes care of it in the background a little bit, rather than you having to do the bookkeeping on it. But yeah, investing is a thing. Investing limits and stuff. I think he'll explain this to the group.
Invest in a new Sydney.
I have tissues. Are you using napkins?
She's using napkins from the coffee shop. It's so
red,
sad.
A red nose like a who? Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Cut away. Yeah. Don't let them don't look see at me like this.
It's the same haircut as Cindy Lou Who, too. It's the same haircut.
I do. Actually, that's true. Yeah. A little like, my hair's getting long. Cool. Okay, so we take this hand.
Yeah, I think he'll take the hand and it has this magical property. It can give you resistance to cold. He'll hand it to Zephyr. Like, keep this on your person.
I'll just add it to my little...
Protect yourself.
Pouch of items from dead people.
Yeah. It would be best.
Looks at her belt.
Also, we have to keep it away from Riddleson if we ever see him again.
I mean, if we do end up having to go... to the crown of the world, if that's truly what we're supposed to be doing. We have this, and we have the Salmakar kind of outfit. It's another resistance to cold. At least we'll be warm.
Right.
Wasn't there something we had that was like some kind of equilibrium magical thing that like keeps us... Might be another game. Never mind.
I think it was Giant Slayer.
Yeah, maybe. Wow.
We have
might be Jade Regent, actually.
The Yeti costume. The Yeti costume has the mask, greater coyote cloak, and the +1 cold resistance. That was what the Yeti costume had.
What does that mean? +1 cold resistance.
It says +1 cold resistance outfit is what I wrote down.
Yeah. So that doesn't just give you a +1, it gives you something else. I could look it up.
A lot of this has to do with like the coyote cloak is you don't have to eat. No, what is the coyote cloak?
Brother Amius has the ring of sustenance.
Oh, that's what you have, right?
That's what I was. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. I was going to think of the ring of sustenance.
Yeah, the ring of sustenance, so he doesn't have to eat, and he only needs 2 hours to sleep for counts as 8 hours.
And the coyote cloak is a +1 to survival check. So this is all for like. Traveling goes to the crown of the world.
We're being equipped for the crown of the world.
Yeah. But it's only like one set of an item set for like one person. It's like, I can't tell if metagaming, that's what we're supposed to be doing. It seems like this is what Riddleson was doing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mask functions identically to a greater coyote cloak.
Right.
And the costume is a +1 cold resistance explorer's clothing, which. You got to look it up. Like, explorer's clothing is one thing, and it's basically has the equivalent of a rune attached to it that gives it +1 cold resistance, but you have to look up what that actually means.
But that is a...
Typically, that's related to environmental stuff. Maybe it's like, it's one step less.
It's either cold resistance 5 or cold resistance 10, or it's a bonus against saves against cold or something like that.
I'm sure it's the latter and not cold resistance to cold damage, like to like damaging cold spells the way that the hand seems like.
Yeah, it's probably more for a survival.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know for sure.
I think it was Casino in 1E or something has like a thing for the elements, so you're not as affected by like heat and temperatures and stuff like that. So maybe it's more like that.
But that is a good point that it's just obviously for Riddleson. This is for one person to wear this whole outfit and have the ring and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're player-wise. This is me, Sydney talking. I don't know what we should do about Riddleson.
Well, like,
do we kill him? Do we seek him out?
We got to confront him.
Well, we killed whatever was in here. The whale guy that we met down here said to retrieve the Blessed One. We murdered it.
Well,
we
retrieved.
I'm wondering
I think the hand might be.
Maybe the hand is the Blessed One, but yeah. I think when we leave this room, maybe something will happen.
Hopefully something good.
But
well, we should go back to his office and spend even more time going through his materials.
We have to read
the library.
The library. Yeah.
We have to read more of that book.
Yeah.
Because we only read a little bit.
Is there anything? Are there any secret doors in this room?
No. Well, I mean, let's just take some guesses as players as to what's coming. I don't think we're going to confront Riddleson.
You don't think so?
That's my guess. That's what I've been saying since we came down here. My guess is he's gone.
Like, he's not the boss?
Until such time as he confronts us at the Crown of the World. Like, something along those lines. Because what happens if he comes back? This is going to be bizarre.
Be really awkward.
Yeah. We're going to kill him in his house? Maybe.
When you first came here, Alwyn said he'll be back within the week.
Yeah.
It's been 2 days because you spent the night and then you spent a day under here.
I just think it's insane for him to call us to bring us back and then just not be here, knowing that he has all of this shit in his house that we could find, you know? But because it's behind one secret door, we won't find any of it.
This is also like the predetermined destiny type stuff where I'm like, did he plan for us to find... Like, is this all, you know, like, I'm like all wrapped up in that. And I'm like, were we supposed to come down here, talk to the whale guy, destroy
the
his
whale,
own?
Yeah. The whale fish man certainly didn't seem upset that we were down there. It was like, perfect.
Yeah.
All according to plan.
Are we supposed to kill his creation to get the hand? Like, I'm, I don't know.
Yeah. It's all very strange. But I think, the library is nothing else in here, right, Troy?
Just that book.
Take the book.
Yeah, the book.
The Moonstone book.
The Moonstones.
Yeah, there were Moonstones.
We'll take the Moonstones
They're
as well.
Worth something, but obviously they may be have more value than just their monetary value. And then there's this book that seems to be focused mainly on Moonstones and the use of Moonstones, but it's a tome that he has scribbled in as well.
All right, great. I think all right, let's just go back to the library.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say library, you mean the room to the north that just had stacks and stacks of stuff. You spent 24 hours in there.
Yes.
Because you only spoke one of the languages. All right. I'll open up these doors here. And you want to get back to where I'm pinging on the map here to the north.
Ooh, it's dark. I have no light with my character. Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, I made it dark in here.
I'm scared.
Yeah, he made it. He lowered the light level. To show off my vital beacon.
I just wanted to show off his beak.
Take a look at my beak.
Nice sweet beak.
All right, so you want to spend another...
3 days.
Okay. Well, here's what I think
about this.
We take the book. We have the book, right, that we're reading, or is it multiple books?
No, like that room is shit everywhere.
Yeah. Copy. I was
the book is Moonstone.
Let's just go back upstairs and read it upstairs, but I guess we can't do that.
No. There's languages in here we don't understand, which is why it's...
Yeah. Thought we could just bring them with us. Poop salad.
I say we just keep doing research.
Just hang out in here. Just keep...
Yeah. What's the difference?
Someone comes down here and confronts us, we just kill them and just keep reading.
Yeah. You are murderers.
Yeah. We do.
I feel conflicted.
We are singularly equipped to kill anyone who bothers us. Let's do it.
Yeah. Conflicted in what way?
Yeah.
Conflicted in the other gatewalkers who don't know what's going on that we have befriended, and we all sort of felt like something's weird in this house, right? Like, they don't know what they know what we're doing, but we haven't come back yet. Hubert, who thinks we're supposed to come back, and he's telling a lie for us. And Alwyn, who's fucking weird, and I don't trust him at all. But I guess it doesn't matter about any of those fears. If
we could just kill him.
Yeah, if he's weird, fuck him. And Hubert, like, we told him what we're doing. It's just like, just gonna have to wait.
We have too much.
The other thing
now,
I think, is when you talk about the other gatewalkers, like, while we know a lot of information to share with them, we still don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any smoking guns.
We don't have.
Here. Yeah. I mean, we do in the sense of we know Riddleston is guilty.
Riddleston's.
But other than that, like, we don't know any more information that's going to help them resolve their gatewalker issues.
True.
Right.
Okay. True.
So I feel like a little bit more information is warranted before we start spilling the beans to them about everything Riddleston's doing.
Yeah, I guess we need more. You're right. We need more information even before we confront Riddleston to understand. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, so you're going to spend another day down here, and then you're going to have to start thinking about a cover story.
Yeah, and I want to try something else out, which is Ramius wants to dive into this Moonstone book. I want to see if there's a way to extract what is in these moonstones out of them for us to know what memories are in them.
Yes.
Or be able to identify if these... Would you please stop blowing your nose during my role play? No. He could.
I'm losing my train of thought with your son.
If he could attempt to recognize if a moonstone has a memory in it or not. Mm-hmm. Like, are these empty discs, blank discs that haven't been filled yet?
And how are they accessed? How are the memories invested in the moonstone, and how are they meant to be retrieved? Is there device of some kind? Is there a ritual? Like, what is
That's what you're specifically
That's what I'm going to focus
maybe
on.
Maybe finding other books within this like makeshift lab here to cross-reference with the book that he had behind three doors.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
And the rest of you just kind of trying to find focus on something, see if you can recover any information. Because as I said, there's a lot of information in here, and where you only speak one of the three languages, it takes a lot of time in game time.
Damn it.
Oh, wait. I flipped to the cover of the Moonstone book. Is it called The Blessed One?
It is not.
Okay.
However.
Also, it's in my hands.
Give me that.
I do have a bottle cap for you. A posthumous bottle cap.
I died?
You died?
The middle lever would have flushed the tank, and you would have seen what's inside. And you said that, and I made fun of
it. I said it flushed like a toilet.
Just to throw you off the scent.
I think we all made fun of you.
We all made fun of you, and I said, what a stupid idea. But that was absolutely correct.
Thank you.
I just wanted to see if you'd do it. But yeah, it would have actually flushed the tank. And if you had pulled that one first, you would have seen the creature inside. But then it would have seen you and broke and tried to break out.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
But instead, you get a little cap for that.
Let's good see. Instinct.
Yeah, good being job. Cap. Honest.
See, Joe, that's what you
I had
do.
It. I had it right here in my station.
I will never figure
it's like
anything
when
out.
I come into the studio, I'll remember what that cap is for.
The middle lever always flushes like a toilet.
It's Pathfinder 101.
Pathfinder 101.
You spend another day here just reading, sleeping. I mean, it's more than 24 hours. You're spending probably 28, 30 hours because you guys have to sleep. You're falling asleep with tomes on top of you. And this is what the four of you discover. And I will say, even when you're done with this, you feel like there's even more information in here. But how much time can you spend down here? Maybe the information you glean will give you enough to make a decision on whether or not to move forward and how to move forward. Zephyr, you, very early on in your second study of this room, find notes providing seems like a pretty full list of all the gatewalkers that he's been watching through dreams.
Whoa. This is juicy.
So you see Asta, you see Lucky, you see Gick. It's like Gick was added recently.
Ooh. What?
You also see a name that jumps out at you. Queen Equendia of Skywatch.
Whoa.
And his descriptions of her leading the city's population north on a dangerous journey to the crown of the world are tinged with both admiration and jealousy. Huh. It's obvious that Edward wishes he commanded this level of servitude over such a large group of people. And then you start thinking about Skywatch. You heard that it was abandoned and all these raiders moved in. You start thinking, was Equendia a gatewalker and something happened to her to lead all of her people? Is that why
she wanted
it became
to, she has the
abandoned?
Same, maybe the same drive we do.
Yeah.
Same drive Riddleston does to return to the crown of the world.
Yeah.
These notes conclude with him wondering if the queen reached the nameless spires and ponder what she might now be after spending time amid the black frost and dreams of Osoyo.
Oh.
There might be I've asked this 10 times.
Bigger baddie than Riddleson.
What is black frost?
The black frost whale?
What is black frost? Is black frost?
When you first came downstairs.
This also came up outside of the black frost whale. It was like his black frost, or black frost is like a spell or something.
You came downstairs and you saw notes on black frost on the chalkboard. And it was the right. first time that you dissociated black frost yes. from black frost whale. And you're still not quite sure what this is.
Okay.
It's also the bridge from Midgard to Asgard in Norse mythology.
The black frost?
Black frost.
That's interesting.
Oh, Bifrost.
The Bifrost.
Oh, the Bifrost.
The Bifrost.
Speaking of black frost, Buggles, you see a lot of information about black frost that sort of widens your perspective on what this black frost might be. These notes describe the physical effects of black frost, boast about Edward's immunity to black frost, and mentions its capacity to create black frost zombies. See him ruminating upon the true nature of this curse, this black frost curse, theorizing that Osoyo's dreams may be the source of this ash-like substance. The fact that black frost seems to progress more quickly when an afflicted creature dreams has further intrigued Edward, his obsession with dreams, although he's not yet sure what to make of this observation and connection.
Why is he immune? We know.
He doesn't say. As you study further, you can't tell if he's done something to make himself immune, if he believes he's immune but not actually immune, or if he's naturally immune. It's almost like the ravings of a madman, but someone clearly highly intelligent that is trying to figure things out with what limited information he has. But now it seems like Black Frost is an affliction and a curse that is enhanced while dreaming. Gick, you see more stuff about this hand. And you see that as excited as Edward was about discovering this hand when he woke up, saw this as a sign, it pales against his discovery of a presence that came to him in his laboratory, an entity he named Ogmanzorius. And so his notes seem to try to theorize who or what Ogmanzorius is. And he currently believes that Ogmanzorius is a, quote, sending from Osoyo's dreams. And he takes Ogmanzorius' presence here in his laboratory as proof that he, Edward, is a chosen one, intended to release Osoyo from its prison in return for even greater mental powers, and perhaps unlocking the key to reaching the Dreamlands. The notes also mention how Ogmanzorius has been assisting Edward all along the way, giving him ideas, perhaps even imbuing him with powers, or at least giving him the knowledge to unlock powers. He helped him conjure guardians for his laboratory, but noted that these first creatures that they conjured were untrustworthy. And that the only
Shocking.
Way... the only way he could really feel confident in their abilities and their alliance with him was to use inveigle rituals on them to control their mind and their thoughts and their allegiance to him. And then the notes start to further theorize. He's like, inveigle the staff, inveigle the servants, inveigle everyone.
So everyone in the house is inveigled.
That's what it seems to. At least he was theorizing.
Maybe the one woman wouldn't do it or something, or she, like, wouldn't, whatever, she got fired.
Not, yeah.
She couldn't be inveigled.
Maybe she hit her saving throw. No, but, or she refused to whatever, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Inveigle the gatewalkers. Like, this inveigle seems to be part of the process.
Inveigle the gatewalker.
Question.
Inveigle and cream cheese.
I would love an inveigle.
I am ready.
I want
a bagel and cream cheese.
One of the best bagel shops in the All of New York is right across it.
Everything. Seriously. I flip it over. Inveigle with locks.
Inveigle with locks. I love Inveigle with locks.
I love Inveigle with locks. From a
bacon scallion cream cheese.
Let's keep saying things about bagels. Okay, what's some on a bagel?
It's bagel
sausage,
time.
Sausage, egg, and cheese.
Bam! Sausage, egg, and cheese in bagel.
If you're not from New York and you're watching this, your bagels suck. You've never had a good bagel. Bagels suck.
They're inveigled to think they have good bagels.
Right. Yeah. Someone is inveigled to think that your bagels are impassable. What are we talking about? You have questions about your discoveries?
From a reader's perspective. Yes.
Such an antagonist to the GM.
What? Oh, whoa. You have questions about the
series? About the plot?
What?
Oh, please. Let's hear all your questions.
I've opened up more doors for more questions. From a reader's perspective, does Edward seem sane? Does he seem like logical, analytical, like this is all part of, like, truly he thinks he's a scientist? Or does this feel now with, like, inveigle the staff, inveigle the gatewalkers, does it feel like he has lost the plot?
Well, it's funny, I've played enough Call of Cthulhu at this point and run enough Lovecraftian adventures that there is this ongoing theme of these cultists who believe in these outer gods and these other things, and they believe that, like, if I just bring him into this world, I'll be the one that saves.
It's always the same thing. The same. It's so insane.
And the chosen one.
Like, do they believe that, like, the world is
going to... I can fix it. Yeah. It's the ultimate.
Is the world going to turn to ash and they're just going to be allowed to walk around, do anything? Or is their consciousness going to be fused and they're going to be brought to another realm? I don't know.
Yeah.
With him, you do get this sense. He believes if he can release Osoyo, then his powers, his mind powers, his dream powers will be even more powerful. What we've seen with Count Lals in Strange Aeons is that he's already passed over. He found out how to get into the Dreamlands. It seems like Edward hasn't figured that out yet.
Right.
Hmm. He's trying to...
Hadn't at the point
at the point of these
from
notes
where he's writing from. Yeah,
I tend to think of it. I like the way that at least in the films, it's pretty cut and dry. The way Saruman is portrayed, I think, is a pretty good way that I tend to think about it. Which is like, this evil force is inevitable that I've discovered. Like, it is going to, someone is going to do this. And I might as well ally with it.
Choose the side.
Right.
Now,
I'm going to choose the side that is obviously far more powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, get on the right side of this war before it starts. And so, yeah, I think some, you know, I think even Riddleston could think that way, because if you experience Osoyo, if you know what Osoyo is, you'd have to be a fool like we are to think that we can defeat it. Right. Yeah. This thing that took like a whole army of elves to just barely imprison is like, oh, well, the four of us are just going to beat it, right? Like, it takes a fool's hope.
Yeah. Not much hope.
That's what you discover.
Okay.
Ramius, you may break the case wide open.
Oh,
smoking gun!
We'll find out. Let's break.
I don't want to wait!
Didn't have to wait that long. We're back.
We're back, baby.
You're looking specifically at the Moonstone book and trying to cross-reference the Moonstones with any information you find in here. And again, this is tomes and tomes of stuff, some written in other languages, some written in Aklo, which is this sort of Lovecraftian equivalent of nonsense.
Can I interrupt you before you go any further?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Let me explain why I'm so excited about the Moonstones and this whole concept.
You love a Moonstone.
Love a Moonstone. Ever since I found out about the concept. I think they've done some stuff like this in they did something like this in Black Mirror. It's a very cool idea. But it's basically like, you want to talk about breaking the case wide open or whatever. It's like, imagine if in a court case, in a murder case, in a mystery, you just had an actual recording of people's memories, the witnesses or the accused or the victim, whatever it is. You just watched it. You would have to do no other work. You have the memories of those that were there and what they experienced in some way. It would just, you don't need to do any more searching. You know what I mean? It would just be bam, right there.
Yeah.
So that's why I think if we can unlock a memory from beyond, you know, or even figure out how to capture it. I don't know. It's very interesting.
Well, it seems like that's what he's been trying to do. His initial research led him to the Iodaras. The Iodaras, he thought...
Brainstorm. That's a movie with that exact concept.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Christopher Walken's in it. It was like the recording memories and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's a Rick and Morty episode, too. It's like Morty's mind benders. But it seemed like at first he was like, oh, I'll get these moonstones and these will power the elf gates. These are coming from space where the elves used to be. If I can harvest these moonstones, these powers will let me reactivate Lichgate. And you see directions from Leppestadt to Lichgate in the Shudderwood, where evidently he originally stepped through on the night of the missing moment. He's like, if I take these moonstones, that will help me activate the gate. And it seems like he was correct. You see notes, like notes upon notes of historical documents and whatnot saying that, like, this is how the elves would activate the gates.
These, like, memories are like a ticket. They're like a price that you have to pay to, like, open the moonstones. And so he's using memories
gates,
encased in the moonstones. Whereas, like, we had to use our own memories to pay the passage to get through it.
Think about Kanipo's key. Like, that was originally an elven thing that
artifact.
He stole and whatnot, and Bolan had it. So it's the same thing. And so thinking of what you know of the gates you've stepped through, you're like, oh, he's on to something. But his interest wasn't just in activating a gate and passing through and returning to the crown of the world. Because remember, it seems like he wants to get to Ice Gate, and from Ice Gate get to the Nameless Spires. He wants to activate Lich Gate. And so it seems like he was harvesting the minds of the gatewalkers, people who went through the gates and experienced this missing moment, because he believed if he could harvest something from the minds of people, you start thinking about the skeletons with the heads, you know, the skulls carved off, infuse it into the moonstone, he would be able to have their memories and psychic powers activate Lichgate in such a way that he could use the Iodara to merge their psychic energies with his own so that he can stand before Asoyo at the Nameless Spires and use the combination of all these powers to free Asoyo from its prison.
Wow.
You see, he has notes of gatewalkers he's harvested previously. You don't recognize any of them. You do see your own names, but there is no date of harvesting.
Ah.
It says, like, soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Huh.
Soon. You see the names of the gatewalkers upstairs. Soon. And sometimes they've been crossed out with the date. Not the people upstairs. Not you, but other names. Soon.
So it's a physical surgical process.
Yeah, it's like a lobotomy.
And you
lobotomy.
Die.
Yeah.
And you die.
No, you don't die.
Maybe you die.
Oh, maybe you die.
There are headless bodies being dissolved in an acid pit.
Yeah.
There are skulls of what seems like other gatewalkers.
I think
but the harvest dates were well before the death dates in some cases.
Right. It seems like the harvest happens before the death.
But that doesn't matter. Like, once you serve your purpose, it seems, you're not going to still be a gatewalker out there in the world. I think he's going to take your power, your ability, and kill you. I think that's the ultimate.
But remember, we also had the bit of evidence from the gnome.
And Bolan still
had his
power.
That people go off with Riddleson and then leave the house, like, zombified.
Yeah, maybe he harvests
multiple
times.
He doesn't always kill them.
Maybe he harvests you multiple times.
Next to Buggles, Ramius, your names are close together. There's, like, a note in the side that says, wait, the potential in these final pawns may be the greatest of them all.
Huh. The potential in these final pawns may be the greatest of them all.
It's really rude. He calls us pawns.
Well, aren't we? Aren't we all?
We are. Felt like that this whole time.
So, we've been used. Game pieces moving around on a board that we can't see.
Well, I'm gonna fucking rook his ass.
Yeah.
I'm going to move in a way that he's never seen coming.
Yeah.
We have all this information.
Yeah.
What are we sitting down here for? Why don't we go to the Lich Gate? Why don't we go find him?
Yeah.
Ramius.
Getting all hyped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
What do you assume? He went to the Lich Gate and walked through?
No. I think what you just read, what you told us, he's just using the gate. He's not going to go anywhere. He's gaining that power. He's going to go to Asoyo. but not without our power.
Yes, but the Moonstones are here. You would need them to activate the gate, no?
That's a good point. He doesn't have us yet.
Does he just have so many Moonstones that he took others with him to activate the gate? Perhaps. It is encouraging, though, that we haven't been harvested. At least that appears to be the case.
Where is he right now? What is he doing right now?
I don't know.
If he could be here, he would.
Also,
What is he doing back there?
What if he returns soon? Tomorrow? What would you say, Gick?
I'd break his kneecaps.
Oh.
So you would say nothing and attack him immediately?
Absolutely.
Is that the best course of action, or is that just the first instinct?
You asked me what I would do is my first instinct. My instinct is to break his kneecap so he cannot walk away. Then I would talk to him. Nicely. Is that the wrong answer? She looks at Zephyr.
I don't know that there is a right answer. I just feel that we have a great deal of information here. A great deal of power. See, I was always taught there is great power in information like this. When you are raised in a monastery like mine, there is so much information that passes through. Copies of so many texts, so many histories, so much information. And there are powerful people that seek it. Kings, queens, their courts, their spies. They wish to know information about every nation, region, army, all of these things. And there are those in my order who turned a blind eye to what I believe are the most important lessons of the Keeper and would sell this information to the highest bidder, would use it to make themselves wealthy. And it is a very long story, but some of them split off long ago. In my upbringing, I was taught to hold these values of keeping information carefully preserved and using it wisely. I don't know what the wise use is here. I don't know if confronting him in front of everyone, putting it out there that he's been doing all this, serves us well. Or if keeping it secret and keeping that information among ourselves would hurt us and help him.
No.
But I think that we need to think about it carefully before we jump to the conclusion of just accusing and passing judgment and executing him.
We should let him make the first move when he shows up.
I think you make a good point. I was being rash. I'm not going to break his kneecaps immediately.
I also want to kill him.
But no, you...
He had a weird drawing of me.
That was weird.
And Val.
Yeah.
That was inappropriate.
That was extremely...
That alone could
I agree
be
with the kneecaps. Intimate. But...
Ramius brings up a good point. I mean, we could take this information and we could go to Queen Aquindia. We could try to find her. It doesn't seem like her and Riddleston are aligned.
It says here...
Aligned.
It says here what she became.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
I don't know.
Do you think he believes she could become some sort of powerful, most godlike?
And like he wants to be that?
Clearly.
Perhaps it's some sort of race. First one to get to whatever this location or knowledge is wins. Wins great power.
He admired her. Admired that she was able to command her group of people all to go there.
I just thought of something. It has been many weeks. But what of our friend Sakawachi? In his pursuits. Remember, they wanted to slay a living god, which to me made no sense. These powers that Riddleston has begun to cultivate, that he has learned. These powers that come from beyond the gate. And if you can harness them in a certain way, perhaps you could appear to be a living god. Perhaps Sakwachi knew more than he was telling us the whole time. He was in Skywatch. Perhaps his target was the Queen.
I don't know. Every time a living god did kind of show up, like when we manifested them in our dreams, they got scared and would run away or like threaten to kick us out of their group. So.
I also don't understand why Ogmund Zorius would appear to us.
Yeah.
As well as Riddleson.
He said it was good to see you again. We had seen him before.
He wanted us to get the Blessed One.
I don't understand.
But Riddleson made that thing, which I guess is the Blessed One, or the hand is, so I'm not sure
but
what...
But he did not make the hand.
Again.
Perhaps the hand is a remaining relic of the Blessed One. Riddleson was trying to recreate it, and perhaps Ogmund Zorius saw this failure and thought, free the Blessed One, take its hand, and return it to a soil. I don't know. But what is right in front of us now? We have to return upstairs. We must decide what we are and what we are not saying to the other gatewalkers, because think of it this way. This queen, this Riddleson, they learn this info. We're all gatewalkers, right? We're all gatewalkers. Some of us seek this information to help others, ourselves maybe. I thought Riddleson was seeking this information to help all of us, to help us all find our truths, what had happened to us in the missing moment. Now we see that was a lie. Now we, Gick, are you all right? Are you going to be sick?
It crumbles to the ground.
You know, it is dusty and musty down here.
Yes, I think...
Gick, have you developed some sort of allergy?
She's not doing well.
I have to go upstairs.
She needs fresh air.
What are we going to say to everyone?
Right,
the basement's making me sick.
What's our alibi? What are we saying to Hubert?
Tell Hubert we found nothing. He cannot be clued in on this yet.
Fighting it harder and harder to lie to.
Sorry, let me finish my... Very quickly, I just want to say that... It is also dangerous to share this information that Riddleson discovered with all gatewalkers. We don't know which of them may take this opportunity to grab power for themselves. Say, oh, that's the way to the spires. I'll go there. We could be sending them to their death. We could also be creating new enemies. I think we keep this information to ourselves for the moment till we decide how best to use it.
Would you tell them that Riddleson is not to be trusted?
We shouldn't leave them.
That's true, too.
We shouldn't leave them in the dark. I mean, Lunga, Vax Turvin, Takuzo, they're good people. They've done nothing wrong. They don't deserve to be harvested unknowingly and against their will.
Of course you're correct.
If we leave and he comes back and they're here and we don't warn them, they could be victims. We would be to blame.
Maybe. Maybe the answer lies somewhere in the middle. Yes, we tell them. Riddleson has been trying unorthodox methods to extract the memories of gatewalkers. Perhaps we pitch his goals as righteous in their own way. He wishes to solve this problem, but he's going about it the wrong way and he's hurting gatewalkers. And we leave it at that. Nothing of Osoyo, nothing of the spires to the north.
Don't tell them about the basement lobotomy and the creatures from Abaddon.
Well, we can tell them about their... Not the lobotomy, perhaps, but the he administered some poison to them to make them sleep, and it has dulled their minds. It would fit in with what the
I forget the gnome's name. He's a gnome, right? Or halfling?
Gick.
Vax Turvin.
Gick.
Vax Turvin. It would confirm Vax Turvin's suspicions, and... Yes.
Yes.
Could also say he was distraught about the death of his parents, and he seeks to discover what happened to them or some such.
What about Alwyn? What if he's, you know, mind freaked?
Well, they may all be. That's why we should not talk to any of them about any of this. They could report to him immediately.
Right.
They could be in Vagrant themselves.
Yes. They could wait till we are asleep. Slit our throats.
So we've been gone for 2 days.
Three days.
Just getting absolutely wrecked.
We should come in. We should just come in.
Down
we needed
night.
It. We needed to blow off some steam.
We should come in late at night. few hours from
and
now.
And we heard some hot goss from, like, the townspeople.
Talking about Riddleson.
And that's how we found this out.
Oh, very interesting. Zephyr, such a schemer. I had no idea.
Oh.
Great idea.
I have been getting better at that, I think.
Yes. Lying. Yes.
Yeah,
deception.
Deception.
And Ramius shit himself at the bar.
No. No.
Should we not?
No.
It seems like a good red herring to everything.
She's onto something.
Like if anyone gets too deep into questions, we throw that out there as
and
like
that will stop them.
Little flag.
Comes
look, over
back.
Here, yes. Look over here. Look over here.
Let's continue the shitting story. Ramius made a fool of himself.
Right.
Well, no, we can say Barnes did because he's not here
yes,
anymore.
He can't
that will
himself.
Explain,
that's right,
explain
Barnes.
Where he went.
Barnes is gone.
Barnes was so mortified.
Embarrassed.
Never coming back.
It was right in the middle of a tavern. Yes.
Everybody was there.
Right.
Yep. The mayor.
The mayor. Yes. The mayor's daughter.
Shit on the mayor.
Yeah. He was.
Shit slipped.
Can't
fell
show
into
his face
the mayor.
Anymore.
Yes.
And had to go home.
Where's his home again?
We don't know.
Casterville.
Oh, thank God. Where's his home?
Where? He went back to the moon.
What is the plan?
Let's go back
you think
to
that,
when it's
you, you think that maybe the staff is inveigled. You've learned that you could counteract that, but it's, you know, I don't know if you have the magics to do it. And you also don't, it seems like, it's unclear if he was theorizing about doing it or if he did it. However,
I did
you know,
forget that part. Perhaps we could
they are acting,
break them of the spell.
They are acting weird.
Yeah.
You're not, you're
how was that done? How would we break the spell?
It's like a straight up counteract magic.
Yeah.
Johnski. You're worried, concerned about whether or not these gatewalkers that are there have been inveigled. And you also don't know if Riddleson is going to return, if he's never going to return, or if he's going to come back guns blazing. Do you go take the trip to Lichgate? You tell me what you want to do.
I think that we need to secretly tell the gatewalkers,
yeah,
do not trust Riddleson, and don't go anywhere with him if he returns. I don't think there's any. I don't think that the staff is unsafe as long as he's.
As long as they're not gatewalkers, like I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think they're unsafe.
And none
the
of
moment.
His like hired guards are here, which seems like those would be the guys we would fight or something. But like they're with him supposedly.
Yeah. The other option is to try to blow it up.
I don't think we should blow it up yet.
So leave the servants. Just don't tell them anything. Tell the gatewalkers that the servants can't be trusted because we have reason to believe that they're ensorcelled by Riddleson.
Ensorcelled.
We'll tell him anything that they hear. And
maybe
we
go to Lich.
And then go to Lichgate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's not here by like
the next day.
The next day.
Should we bring some moonstones?
Fuck yeah.
Bring all some moonstones.
Maybe I'm hungry. I thought you were about to say, should we bring a picnic? And I was like, it's going to take a little while.
Some moon pies?
Yeah. We should bring a picnic.
Yeah. We should. Picnic lunch.
Yeah, thinks that.
Okay. And maybe like we can tell the other gatewalkers by like leaving notes in their rooms or something.
I think we just whispered.
They know we went to the basement.
Yeah,
so
they
tell
know
them.
We were exploring and they know we were all we're suspicious of Riddleson.
Yes.
You know, the one had seen him go into the mat, cover up the Lichgate thing. You know, we can sort of explain to them what's happening, but I want to leave out as much as we can about the hand, the spires, unless we want to bring them all with us. Do we want Troy to have to play four NPCs?
I was going
to
say
five NPCs out to Lichgate.
Don't forget Lysander. Lysander?
Isandon.
Lysander.
I'm assuming
Takuzo,
they would all be
Back Sturvin and Hubert Hedge.
Not helpful if they came.
I don't want to deal with them.
I don't remember what happened.
They don't seem combat ready.
Sounded like.
Let's just.
It might just be in the way.
Actually,
so the Lich Gate is a combat.
Well,
write that down.
Okay. Capital C.
Yeah, Troy goes, well.
If you get into trouble, they're not going to help.
Okay.
Yeah, no, of course.
We don't
need
them. He
said that specifically, that we talked about all those fights we were in, and they were like, you guys fought stuff?
Yeah,
like,
do you remember
like,
that
huh?
conversation you have? And they were like,
it's harrowing
what?
Out there.
They're like, we didn't do anything.
He
like
just
that.
Showed up, and he said, well, I'll be back after those other four people.
Yeah. We could even just tell him to leave. Tell him to meet us somewhere later.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think this is a good plan. We come back at night as if we're entering from the town late at night, like, oh, we were partying. And then that next day, if Riddleston doesn't show up, we talk to the Gatewalkers, and then we make a plan to go to Lichgate.
It's just hilarious that, like, our cover stories, we went on a 3-day bender.
Fucking believable. I would believe that.
Yeah. We really needed to blow off some steam. Yep. All right. I like it. Let's return to the library. The upstairs library.
You return from this harvesting lab.
The public library.
To the public library. And as you get upstairs and quietly open the secret door, you see Takuzo is sitting there reading. He looks up. Have you been down there?
We come up. Close the door behind us.
Have you been down there for 2.5 days?
No, we've been in town.
We were drinking.
That's what we were told. Or, Hedgehog friend, when questioned, said that you were in town carousing, and when you didn't come back, we obviously got worried. We knew that you went down there. We hadn't seen you return. We thought the worst.
Takuzo, I need to ask you something.
Yes.
I need you to be honest with me. Takuzo's the one I shared a joint with a few days ago, right?
Tian man.
Yeah. It's like, I need to ask you something. Cool. I need you to be as honest with me as you can.
All right.
How long before we arrived in this house did you arrive?
A week and a half.
And how long was Riddleston here with you? How many conversations did you have with him?
I didn't have many meaningful conversations with him. Just in passing, we spoke. He was focused on the other gatewalkers that he was working with extensively.
And then you saw him with them or speaking with them, and then they'd go away and you wouldn't see
behind closed doors.
The
assumption is that we would be the next to speak with him and sent out to do some investigating.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any way to roll a check on this, because he wouldn't be lying. I'm just wondering if he's already been, like, mind controlled.
Yeah, is there a way to
tell?
Why
do you ask?
Right, exactly. So it seems like, and his notes said, Riddleston's notes said, soon. For
all of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so they hadn't been harvested. Okay, so he's just going to assume he's like, and he'll say, he'll tell him what we said.
My God.
We can't be trusted. You must keep your distance at all costs.
Are we in danger?
Yes. Great danger.
From the staff, from Hulwan.
Yes.
Possibly.
He's an old man.
I don't believe the staff would harm anyone, but I do believe that they are, not by their own will, completely loyal to Riddleston.
Acting against their will.
So,
must be so horrible inside. Is a mind desiring to do other things that they cannot do.
Yes.
You could use this power to great ill.
Yes.
Could make someone kiss you that doesn't want to kiss you.
Right, or
it's weird, that's your first thought.
First thing you thought
of. Do other stuff.
What other stuff?
What's this ritual called?
I feel like Hubert's been touching everyone's mind.
This is why I was saying, like, don't tell anybody this power.
Yeah. Well, just let me know. It's for research.
I thought you were cool, man.
Takuzo, he's a cool guy. I'm reading my notes.
Stop wait, playing among cool.
He wasn't weird. He wasn't a weird guy.
I don't know. It's a horrible thing someone could do.
Yes, oh, make sure it doesn't happen to you.
And,
kiss against their will.
This is important, Takuzo, because you had that the same dream we had, remember?
Yes.
The Yeti, the Salmon Car.
Yes, and so it was Riddleston.
We have proof.
A hand and a monster just beneath us. This was all going on.
Yes. It is rather large and expansive down there, but I...
But also really dangerous.
I urge you not to go there. He is summoned... some sort of guardians. And these demonic creatures, we fought them, but they vanished after being destroyed, and there's no way to know if they will return. It all is very extraplanar, and I don't understand it. Don't go downstairs.
Let me ask you this. Just as he says that, you hear a voice. Gatewalkers.
You
turn, and Alwyn is standing in the door.
And Remus is just like, Owen! There he is!
You don't know how long he's been standing there. His hands behind his back.
I'm sorry, did we wake you?
What time is it?
Sorry.
Head.
Didn't even hear you come in. You've been in town.
Sorry.
Yeah.
For days.
A little too hard.
And how did you get in the door? I did not even see you.
Dr. Kuzo let us in.
How did we get in the door?
Hey, man.
Kuzo let you in.
I tried to open the window.
Is it okay if I smoke in here?
Not near the books.
I gotta pee.
I'll go with you.
You want to come pee?
Who did you have to pee to?
Sorry,
I could pee.
Olwyn, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry,
sorry. It's in a library. Buggles, shush.
We had a little bit too much fun, and we wanted to get back to our beds here because we ran out of money. Buggles got into a card game and lost our room for the night.
And then Bars.
Don't even talk about Bars.
He won't be coming back.
Where is Master?
He can't come.
He won't be coming
back.
He
had
an
incident.
Oh.
He would be so angry if
he had a blowout sale.
On the mayor.
A blowout sale.
On the mayor of Fluffenstein.
The mayor and his daughter.
And his daughter.
Yeah.
I am very sorry we woke you. We are going to...
No, I've been at my post for hours.
Oh.
Oh.
You did not wake me.
Sorry.
All right.
Is Riddleson back?
No.
Oh.
Doctor,
we haven't missed him. I told you.
I thought it was four. When is he coming home?
Any day now.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to get some sleep, if that's all right.
Yes. Good day.
Good night. Can I borrow?
Night.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good night.
Do you have five? Can I borrow money if we have? And just like walks away with Zephyr.
Borrow money?
Could I go pee?
We don't have to pay for peeing.
No, pay for the bathroom?
No.
Oh.
All right. It's over. You did good, okay? You did good.
Cut to the bathroom.
I think he bought it.
Just a couple of girls.
Right, so what do you do?
We're going
to the bathroom. Who do
we
you
just
like?
Leave now? Should we just leave?
Well, I think, what time is it in your head, Cannon?
Late at night.
Yeah, like okay. Midnight, 1 a.m.
Yeah, midnight, 1 a.m. And so I was thinking maybe...
I think we just leave. I don't want to give him a chance to hurt us. Fuck with us, you know.
Who, Alwyn?
Anyone here. Like, I don't want the chance to, like...
How are you rest-wise?
We've rested downstairs.
Well,
but that was
not
like a day,
rest.
Because it was like a full day that we did the research.
Did we rest?
Yeah, we slept.
Yeah, we rest. Oh. Like, we are rested mechanically.
Okay. Yeah.
You may not want to travel into the Shutterwood at night. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you do just go to bed.
Maybe, like, right before sunrise.
I think we could go to bed.
I think let's go to bed and we'll wake up bright and early. Yeah,
we'll meet somewhere.
6 a.m. and get a read on Alwyn if he's doing any.
Well, we already told Kuzo, we need to get this information to the others. You know what? I think Ramius will do that before going to bed. Ramius will like gently knock on the doors of the other gatewalkers.
Okay.
And just try to quietly whisper to them, like, if Riddleson returns in the morning, don't trust him. Don't listen to anything he says. I'll explain in the morning.
So we just see all these scenes.
Just very quickly. I'm not giving him the full explanation. Yeah, I'm just saying, we'll talk more in the morning, but he cannot be trusted.
Tell Kuzo can fill you in the details.
Yes, exactly. Night.
All right, so you go to sleep. What time do you guys wake up?
I say like 6 11, or 7.
Or sunrise.
11:30 a.m.
Buggles. He likes to sleep in.
Yeah. Ramius is up at 3 a.m. Like ready to rock.
Like Mark Wahlberg.
Ring of sustenance. Just doing sit-ups.
Yeah.
Just doing crunches.
Oh my God.
Mark Wahlberg wishes you had that ring.
He's got 9 holes of golf already in. 3:30 a.m. All right, so you're up very early and you sneak out before the staff has even got up.
So. Yeah. So we're going to leave the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First thing. Okay.
That's the plan.
At dawn. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll head out at dawn. And we'll tell them, like you said, Takuzo can fill you in.
Wait a second.
I mean, you know the episode's coming to an end sometime today.
Hold on a second.
Just hold it.
It hurts. Okay. My brain hurts.
Okay. My brain hurts.
I'm ready.
My brain hurts.
Okay. Good morning, Gick says to Zephyr.
And the entire staff wakes up. You sneak out of the house.
Yeah. Yes.
You have the map from Leppestadt into the Shutterwood, where apparently Lichgate
is. It's about 40 miles east.
Jeepers!
Of Leppestadt. Oh. And the Shudderwood is no joke. There's all these stories of people going in the Shudderwood and not coming out.
Well, it is called the Shudderwood.
Right. It's not the Happy Wood.
Wait, what are we doing here? We're doing 20 miles a day, right? Ballpark? So it's a couple days journey? Right? Seems I can never like, remember.
Seems like your destination is a ancient elven stronghold called Mirianth, where Lichgate apparently is. So you travel. I'm going to get into the details of the travel.
I think we would need one little overnight, I think.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Camp out.
I did learn something recently when I was doing that great course on Arthurian legends. Mm. There's a formula for travel in the classical and medieval world. 1-6-23. If it takes 1 day to get to a destination by ship, it'll take approximately 6 days on horseback and 23 days by foot.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's cool.
That's cool.
1-6-23.
That's cool.
We'll just get you there.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. We'll say it does take a day and a half.
Okay. Random encounter table?
Nope.
Nope.
Troy's trying to wrap up this AP.
I gotta go play Oblivion. I gotta go finish Cyberpunk really quick.
Yeah, just so play bang that one
just
out.
Just bang out Cyberpunk.
And you travel following this map. Until eventually through the forest, you see mostly collapsed towers and crumbled walls, all overgrown by foliage, sort of subtly marking this transition from the woodland to an elven ruin. Mm. You do see the spires of the ruins are still intact. Whereas the rest has crumbled. It's like walls down like this with fungus and whatnot growing over it.
Vines and, yeah.
Vines, climbing vines up the...
Kudzu.
Up the towers. You don't see the gate itself. The ruins are tall. You can't really see into it. But the map points to Lichgate being somewhere here. You imagine it probably lies somewhere within the ruins. As you approach, four people emerge from the front of the ruins. It's like three men and one woman wearing armor. Nothing fancy. They're not knights.
But bodyguards, maybe?
They have weapons that are not drawn. One of the men steps up and says, "Greetings, travelers. Are you lost?"
No, point of fact, we are exactly where we mean to be. May I ask your name?
My name is Marcus.
Hello, Marcus. I am Brother Ramius, brother of the Keeper. We are examining these ancient ruins. What brings you here?
Business. Sadly, I must report that the ruins are off limits at this time. Perhaps you turn around and be on your way.
Says who?
On whose authority, may I ask, Marcus?
Our boss.
Your boss isn't Dr. Riddleson. By any chance.
They all seem surprised.
Yes.
Can you say that? Around? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Edward, where are
we? We have come to help. We've come to help find him.
He's our boss, too.
Exactly. We've been long awaiting him, and when he did not arrive where he was meant to, we thought he may be here and in trouble. Has he gotten through the gate yet?
Would you wait here momentarily?
You got it, Marcus.
Nods. Turns. And retreats into the ruins. The other three people just stand there.
What's your name?
Staring at you. Eileen.
You?
George.
You?
Dougie.
Gigmuk.
A few minutes pass. Nothing is said beyond that between you and these other people. You try to make conversation. They do not engage. And Marcus returns. Dr. Riddleston would speak with you. Would you please follow us?
Oh, shit.
And we'll see you
next time. Oh, no!
Good thing you cut it there, because what?
We need a week to prep.
Time to think about this.
What are we doing again?
We are going to run away.
What are we doing?
Immediately. He has all his bodyguards here. Oh!
Marcus seems badass. I don't want to mess with Marcus.
This is going to be bad.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself and see what everybody's talking about when you join the Niche today.